Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good.
Getting to be that time of year when patients will come in with upper respiratory infections and colds. Have you gotten your flu shot yet?
I did.
You've got a poem where we're going to look at sinusitis and particularly issues around treatment. Chronic rhinosinusitis is defined as an inflammatory condition lasting sort of 12 weeks or longer. You know, typically, we talk about three subtypes: sinusitis without nasal polyposis, sinusitis with nasal polyposis, and allergic fungal rhinosinusitis. The diagnosis is more of a clinical diagnosis. It requires mucopurulent discharge, nasal obstruction, some sort of tenderness over the sinuses, and often a decreased sense of smell. Often, they also include objective documentation of mucosal inflammation, either on indirect or imaging studies. Different strategies for treating each of these subtypes. We're not going to go through them, but the uninfected normal sinuses obviously contains normal aerobic and anaerobic bacterial flora, similar to those present who don't have infections. The presence of the flora in the normal non-inflamed sinus has been documented using cultures and molecular methodologies. In a study that evaluated the impact of microbacteria, it was similar in patients who had chronic rhinosinusitis and in control subjects, suggesting that, you know, perhaps we're not really looking here at a classic infection, but something else, perhaps inflammatory, might be going on. Lots of treatments have been proposed. The goal of medical therapy for chronic rhinosinusitis is to promote drainage, reduce inflammation, and if there's reason to believe that there are pathologic organisms, to get rid of those critters. The poem that you found comes from JAMA Otolaryngology. It was published in 2018. It starts on page 605. It attempts to answer the question, in patients who do have chronic rhinosinusitis, does the addition of a steroid to a nasal irrigation solution result in improvement? So if you add the two, are they better than the one alone? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the title of this, JAMA Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery. You know, in poems, we cover the journals you've never even heard of or seen. And the second thought is it's a little irritating that JAMA has this journal but doesn't have a JAMA Family Medicine anymore. But anyway, I digress. This was a study of patients with chronic sinusitis. And I think you're right on target. This is really more of an inflammatory disorder. And we know that nasal irrigation is a really effective treatment, perhaps one of the most effective treatments for these patients, with saline, large volume saline irrigation, neti pots and sinew cleanse and things like that. So in this study, they took 80 patients with a mean age of 51 years, chronic rhinosinusitis. They had two or more symptoms, including things like mucopurulent drainage, nasal obstruction, facial pain, and decreased sense of smell for at least 12 weeks. They randomized them to get they all got large volume saline irrigation, either with a placebo added to it or with budesonide 1 milligram once daily added to the irrigation. The patients had sinonasal outcome test, which is called the SNOT-22 score.
Oh, that's great. 40,
it's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's actually a pretty well-known tool. Of 44 out of a possible 110 points. 19 patients dropped out, which left 61 to be evaluated. The average decrease in scores was about 21 points in the treated group that got the steroid and about 14 points in the control group. So this was a 7-point difference that wasn't statistically significant. It was lower in the treated group, but not significantly in a statistical sense. Also, on a 110-point scale, 7 points probably isn't clinically significant either. 19 patients dropped out, leaving 61, like I said, so that's a concern when that many drop out. More participants in the treated group got a clinically important benefit of at least a 9-point improvement. That was their definition of clinically significant. than the saline group. Again, 79 versus 59%, but not statistically different. This was really too small a study. It gives us an interesting signal that, yeah, maybe adding a steroid might enhance the benefit of the nasal irrigation, but we really can't conclude that based on these results alone. Hopefully someone else will do another study that's a bit larger, but for now, it certainly gives us at least a signal that, you know, adding steroids may be helpful, but we still have to wait for a little more evidence, I think.
Does the steroid have to be applied topically in a spray, or can it be systemic steroids?
Yeah, no, this they just put the budesonide in the saline irrigation, yeah. So the stuff they were irrigating the sinuses with, and so it was just topically getting into the sinuses and then getting flushed out.
I don't know, Mark, do you have any experience with that? When you do put the steroid in the spray, is there any burning, or can the patient tell the difference between saline alone or steroid with steroid?
As far as I know, there isn't any difference. I know that this has been looked at in some other small studies, but I don't think it causes any irritation.
Great.
So I don't think the patients would have been able to tell what they were getting.
Interesting. Well, thanks. This is a nice tip, a clinical tip that we can try. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.